Good evening. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White, and joining me on this episode is another familiar voice, that of Kate Scuffle.
Hello. Good to be joining you, Sheila.
Oh, and we are practicing safe distancing. She is on the phone. That's why it sounds so interesting.
Yes, I'm sheltering in place.
Yes. I wanted to let our listeners know that this episode is pre-recorded in response to social distancing protocols set by the World Health Organization, and the date of this recording is Wednesday, March 18th, 2020. So.
And it's interesting to note because this would have been, this will be aired on March 23rd, and that show was originally planned to be a conversation between myself and you, Sheila, about Selkie Theater's upcoming production of the play called The Revolutionists, which would have taken place at the end of March at the Ice House as part of the Ice House Tonight series, but, of course, has been postponed for the time being.
Kate, can you tell our listeners what the process of canceling that was for you as an artist?
Oh, God. As an artist, I also wear both hats with Selkie, artist and administrator in many ways. But as an artist, when we choose to do a piece, we're not year-round. We choose it because of a passion and a desire to share this with our community. And we were three-quarters of the way through the rehearsals, so there had been tremendous emotional investment, wonderful cast, ready to go. And things were changing all around us with COVID-19. And although it broke our hearts, we had to sit down and say, we're 2 weeks out. This is when we will be renting the costumes and putting out money from the budget and asking people to buy tickets. We need to decide now whether to go ahead or not. And what was a little bit ahead of the curve of everything else that was happening, so it was hard. I think the universities were the only thing at that point that had asked the students not to return. But it felt like the writing was on the wall, and we made the leap, and within 2-3 days, it was like dominoes falling. Everything was shutting down. But it was, we're postponing, but it's difficult to revisit. You interrupt the work, people have, they take other gigs, they move on. We're crossing our fingers and just hoping we can find a way to bring this to the Valley.
And I think what you had mentioned about dominoes falling, things were just changing at such rapid fire pace. I as an administrator, I recall, I think it was Thursday, or I can't even remember the days of the week anymore, but it was Friday last week when we were, as an organization, trying to figure out how to communicate what we were deciding to our families. This is the Bel Canto Youth Course of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. And they were wondering, are we still having rehearsals? What's going on? And this was before the schools decided to go on complete lockdown. And I can recall it was a very short email that took 5 hours to write.
Yes.
Yes.
I have to say, the prepping, the social media posts for our postponement, et cetera, I think you and I compared notes. It was very difficult in many ways. And part of the thing you asked me as an artist, part of what was hard was it suddenly made me own the fact that we were letting go of this baby. We were putting it away. And it was difficult.
Yes.
It was difficult.
Well, I think also part of the, when you mentioned social media, is everybody's confusion and frustration and anxiety was being vested in social media circles too, and we were reaching out to each other. I remember reading posts from friends who were support staff for many festivals that were just completely destroyed. The festivals just completely shut down, not even postponed. Nope, not happening this year. So it's not just the artists and the administrators, it's so many behind-the-scenes professionals who are also...
Photographers, tech, lighting people, sound people, audio studios, musicians, exactly. It goes on and on. Ushers, the staff running the venues that now have no income, which have no events, which have no audience. It's dominoes, exactly.
Well, and I mean, even further, print. We have programs.
Right.
They go to printers. That's not happening anymore. Graphic designers that, uh-huh. So the gig economy, what's wonderful to think about in this perverted kind of way is how connected it is and how this definitely isn't a by myself opportunity. It's definitely networked.
It is, and it's interesting how extremely interconnected. 50% of working artists in this country are freelance or self-employed. So it is this kind of free-floating gig economy totally, and yet usually it works. But it's so interconnected that when you pull that one piece out or when you just stop the engine, all the pieces fall off.
Mm. I'm also thinking about the artists who are hired by universities or the teachers that give private lessons or run choirs, and everything has been put on hold. And I know that my kids are in high school theater, and you know they're hoping that they'll be able to do their performance, but other schools are just done. And so if you're a senior, how do you put closure to that? You know, so it's, you know, we're seeing a really interesting spin out of this complete stop.
It's interesting. There's that emotional connection. You're right, though. It's for the performer, for the student, for everyone. Something I'd read online recently really has struck me, though. When we talk as we move on about how people are going to make it, how people are reaching out, how artists are surviving, and what will happen later. But it's almost as if at the very time you need the storytellers and the musicians and the beauty and the art and everything to get us through this, that it's almost as if that's the thing that gets taken away from us. And so it's an amazing to watch for me when we started talking about this show and I started researching online what people were doing to use the technology we have now to reach out. It's amazing and inspiring. I mean, I've really been overwhelmed by it. And it's building every day. Mm-hmm. Like every day there's more and more. And it's not... We had talked about, you know, could one put on a play without an audience, tape it, put it up online? And you can. But it's amazing to me all the different ways people are actually kind of repackaging their product and their information and putting themselves out there in ways to connect with their audience. It's almost like a conversation to keep us connected until we can come back together again.
Yeah,
which hadn't occurred to me. It's fascinating.
Well, and that's something that I'd like to share with our listeners. When we were... I don't know if listeners understand that when we're preparing Lehigh Valley Art Salon shows, we do a ton of research and really trying to gather our thoughts so that, you know, our guests have adequate response time, but we don't rehearse it. I mean, it's a tricky little show in a way, but we were talking about options for the revolutionists, and I asked about a virtual thing, and your response was, your first response was, but we need to be in the same room breathing the same air.
Well, and I find, and I still feel for the revolutionists, for instance, I would not tape it and put it up because unless I had access to about 18 cameras, you know, because of what you would see from London, the I think it's National Theatre on, that's beautifully produced. Mm. Short of that, I think theater is a little harder to replicate online, but I went from that and I thought, okay, Sheila's challenged me to go find it. Since I was looking at what people are doing, it seems like, for instance, music, somewhat, there's a lot of online music from classical music. There's concerts. Fred Gilmartin, local Celtic musician, last night did one of the performances from the living room kind of concerts for St. Patrick's Day with info on the Facebook page with where to contact to make donations to Valley musicians to support them through this. So music seems to translate well. Storytelling translates. Spoken word, visual arts, a lot of galleries and dealers are setting up essentially virtual galleries. Theater, I was curious what people would do. A little trickier. Some people who have had the wherewithal have well-filmed archives, and they're sharing the archives online. Mm. Some folks are talking about doing... there's a group in Ireland, Access Arts Center, and they're doing play readings online and opening up a kind of virtual studio to work with playwrights via Zoom, and keep workshopping things. Broadway World has sponsored an online presence called Living Room Concerts, where Broadway actors and singers and musicians are doing, again, home concerts online. So not literally taking the musical per se and putting it online, but having this really interesting conversation with the audience and the listener and the person at home about the need to have the conversation. Let's keep singing together. Let me offer you music this way. Let me... have this different experience with you about the same art form. And that I hadn't expected. It's really opened my mind. It's been fascinating.
I think the other thing that is interesting is seeing how people are still communing even offline. And I mean, I'm sure some of our listeners may have seen the videos of the Italians singing in their neighborhood in their balconies, and you know how lovely it is that there's someone with a keyboard on one balcony and a saxophone on another balcony. And I was at the office engaging that concept with some of my colleagues, and one of them said, "Yeah, we get it. Italians have balconies." And
but there's things like the Social Distancing Festival that a Toronto playwright, Nick Green, was in rehearsal for a new musical he'd helped write called In Real Life, and it got pulled. And he set up this whole online site, and I'll send links into the station, where you can submit, if you're an artist who's had the work interrupted, you want to keep sharing it, any art form. He's posting like an encyclopedia of links to opera, storytelling, theater, music. He's putting his own projects up. A bunch of artists in Pittsburgh have started something called the Live at 25 Pandemic Series.
Oh, my.
And they're going mostly music-based, but pop music, bands, dance, and they'll be essentially streaming these performances online. A lot of these have connections or links to ways to support the artists, make donations, to buy artist merchandise, you know, to help people get through at the same time. There's a lot of acting classes selling online, online classes of all kinds. The National Museum of Industrial History right here in Bethlehem, you can go on their Facebook page and take a virtual tour of the museum, which they've posted.
And what's interesting is we're sharing it, too. I mean, not just you and I, but I know that the station is a resource. I mean, they have so many interviews that are archived online. So if you're interested in catching up on some of the older Art Salon shows, you could just go on to WDIY.org and find it here.
And like having that quiet time to find all the things you missed.
Yes. And that's it. Sort of that kind of catch up. And I was actually seeing a huge silver lining with this opportunity to not only catch up on things that I had missed before, but to uncover a book that had been buried under a whole bunch of other books that I was like, nah, it's going to be time to get that read, or, you know, challenge myself to explore more things. And the other thing that you and I were doing back and forth in sharing these things, when we're finding that people are natural curators and wanting to share tidbits of joyful things that they find, because it's not just, oh, okay, I'm good. No, I'm going to share it with my neighbors. And I'm finding that there's so much generosity on that regard.
Exactly. And things like the, again, the Social Distancing Festival, at first I thought, oh, it's a festival, but it's not. It's essentially a kind of curated page of a roadmap to connect you out to all these other experiences and arts experiences and tours and online presences. That's really not doing anything for Nick, the playwright. It's not putting his musical back up on stage. But there's this sense that I think it's just this passion for getting through it. And I was thinking about, we had talked a little bit about how, you know, audiences or the community might support the arts community as well as all the other communities that are going to be hurting right now. And something I kept thinking was, one of the ways is to wait for us, because we're not going to go away. And I feel like these online, this generosity, these conversations, the links, the small concerts, all of it is this way of oddly staying in the room together,
yes.
You know, and waiting for the cloud to lift, because when we come back, you know, artists and arts organizations, the ones that weather this, are going to be there to enable our communities to move forward. We're going to need the arts more than ever.
Well, Kate, I'm going to give us a pause here for a little station break, and we're going to continue the conversation about how COVID-19 is impacting the local arts community. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
We're back. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY. My name is Sheila White, and we're still together with Kate Scuffle via phone, talking about the local artist response, reaction, and hope during this COVID-19 extraordinary time. Before we took a break, Kate was talking a bit about having audiences support our artists by waiting for us. Kate, can you tell us more?
Yes, well, and there are lots of other ways to support the artists as well, of course. To wait for us, but to also be aware of what will keep us ready to return when it's time. Things like one of the first things that started to happen was shows were postponed like our own. Is that organizations have been asking ticket buyers to consider not asking for a refund, but either making a donation. For instance, the, who is it? Forgive me. San Jose, Opera San Jose canceled the production of The Magic Flute, and they announced that any non-refunded ticket money would be put into the Opera San Jose Artists and Musicians Relief Fund. So a lot of organizations are setting aside cash for the workers. Others are just saying, look, to keep the doors open, to keep this venue going, please consider refunding, not asking for a refund, or putting the money towards next year's subscription or a voucher for tickets in the future. Most organizations, if you go online to your favorite museum, symphony hall, theater, will now have information on their Facebook page or on their social media presence talking about how you can help them, how to donate, what would be useful, whether it, much like folks suggesting that we support our favorite food service industries by buying gift cards and such. So there's that. I would say most of the streaming opportunities, the concerts and the rest of them will have links and suggestions either directly to support the artists involved or to an organization that is organizing a relief fund. The relief funds are blossoming all over social media.
Yes. The other thing is, going back to the point of waiting, some arts organizations are still trying to recoup some of what they're doing at the end of the season, but they're in a waiting game too. I mean, I know from my point of view, as the administrator of the youth chorus, we're still waiting to see if a venue is available on the date we had reserved. And also, we're still waiting to see what's going to happen to schools. What's the echo effect for the kids? You know, at first I was worried for my own children, sorry to be so personal, but seeing how they were being comforted by, oh, yes, we'll just do the concert later, and then seeing it all crunched into 1 month, it's like, oh, my gosh, we're going to have some anxious kids. So we're still needing to take a breath and just kind of wait it out. And it's challenging, but I think as a community, we're rising to this challenge quite creatively. So.
Absolutely. Again, inspiring is what keeps coming to mind. And I do think, as opposed to my response to your first suggestion about putting our play online, what I'm seeing is arts organizations and artists coming out of this more resilient and having learned new ways to connect with our audience and our community, if we can get through it.
Yes.
But there's rarely a more determined bunch.
Well, I think the other thing is that it's just impacting our planning, which, you know, there's so much behind the scenes considerations and checking and cross-checking. And I mean, it's just such an intertwined, tightly knit fabric of a process that really has, you said it before, domino effect, but it's also how it's built.
You know,
yes. You take out one thread, the whole fabric will depart. It will be gone. So,
and what's difficult is, as you said, we don't know when. We are talking about doing the Revolutionist in August, but suddenly August is starting to seem like maybe we better cross our fingers.
Yes, only because everybody is going to try to do something collaboratively in a very finite space and time moment.
Right.
You know, what I'm worried about is cannibalizing audiences. You know, if everybody's going to schedule everything at one time, you know, do we have the audience that are, you know, those are going to be tough choices to make then.
Well, and it's going to be interesting to see how we come together as a community to kind of coordinate those choices.
Yes.
I'm aware of a lot of that online too. Americans for the Arts and a lot of national organizations, actors, funds, et cetera. You can see them already trying to get those conversations going within the community, so we're not tripping over each other, talking about learning to, you know, organizations and venues thinking about for the future disaster insurance, things like that. so that we don't all come back going, oh my God, I have to do my show right now. You know, we have bills to pay, the rent's due. Oh no.
Well, I think the other part of waiting is, and I want to remind listeners, this is a pre-recorded episode. We're recording this right now. The date is March 18th, Wednesday, and it's airing on March 23rd, right? That's a Monday? Mm-hmm. So things can completely change around in the next 3 or 4 days. And, you know, what we're saying could already be either antiquated or resolved. Who knows? But, you know, I think we all need to think about this in terms of the long haul. And I know that we have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, as a way of being able to respond to whatever changes happen. Mm-hmm. At the same time, as an artist, and now I'm going to wear my bassoon hat, I'm making a lot of reeds, and I really am digging into my own etudes, and, you know, I'm turning back into the grad student that was many, many moons ago. And I'm thinking about, you know, as this weather gets more beautiful, why not just go outside and play out there? Or have my son teach me how to play drum set. You know, why not?
You know, one of the online concerts I saw last night was the artist Pink decided it was finally time to learn to play the piano.
Oh, my.
And she was going to share that learning experience with her audiences. That's what I mean by the different conversations, too. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting to see that a different kind of intimacy, I think, will come out of it between the performers and the artists and their audiences. And yes, even that time, you're right, to go back to kind of roots or space and go back to what inspired us to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Well, the inspiration and the why. You know, why am I doing this? You know, And I think what's interesting is this creative response in virtual terms. It's because we can't not share what we do.
Yes.
We have to find a way to continue to tell the stories, to continue to share the traditions, and to keep our culture, you know, thriving.
I actually thought of that watching it blossom over the last few days. I thought, my goodness, we just can't stop. We can't help ourselves. We have to keep connecting.
Yes.
And I'd encourage our listeners, I know that we've been sharing with each other a lot of online sites and links and connections to what various artists and institutions are doing right now online, you know, on social media. I suspect some of that might be available at the WDIY website later on. I'm not sure. But I would tell people to go online and explore. It's amazing what's kind of mushroomed and blossomed, to mix metaphors, almost overnight.
Yes. And I think it's also good to note that it's when we're talking about sharing information, I would encourage our listeners to visit the websites of their favorite arts organizations and artists. They're all sharing their thoughts, their ideas. And to be a part of the process, I'm sure our local artists would love the feedback. So I think it was a couple of days ago that one of the musicians, Craig Thatcher and Nyke Van Wyck, were doing a virtual concert. And it was just because they love their audience. They love their fans. And there's a lot of opportunity there that, you know, you can't really promote fast enough. And I think, you know, it's also good, though, in a way that even though we're talking about all these virtual opportunities, it's good for us to just turn off and reflect ourselves. You know, what's that book? What's that CD? I mean, I was listening to Dave Fry's Troubadour CD the other day. It's like, oh, I can't wait to see him live again. So there's a lot of ways that we can use our time creatively and in being and continuing to inspire through the arts that are available to us in the ways that are now. I can't imagine trying to survive COVID-19 without the internet. I just can't.
Well, and I have to say, a conversation in the artist hat, wearing the artist hat again, between myself and a lot of artists I know the last few days has been, actually, moments like these are what make art. Like, every one of us should be journaling, taking pictures, writing, because with the moment we're moving through as a culture, as a community, as a country, as a world, is going to send us back to our roots, remind us why we do what we do, make us reach out to each other in different ways. What do we really value? there's going to be a lot of pain and a lot of suffering, but there's going to be a lot of finding our way back to what matters. And I'd be fascinated to see at the end of this what musicians and painters and poets and playwrights do with that raw material.
Yes. I mean, what was a famous Irish songwriter, I think it was Tommy Sands, who said, the victors write the history and the artists or the losers write the songs.
That's a particularly Irish point of view, too.
Yes, it is. And how timely, right? And so, of course, the other night, maybe that's why I had insomnia last night. I was watching the documentary Pandemic. Bad idea. But but what I saw in that was a history of how we survived and how we kept moving forward. And so, you know, if we have our health and we have each other, this will continue. We will continue, and our culture will not die. It will go. So, Kate, I was wondering if you can tell me, I know that you live out in the country area. How do you ever feel isolated where you are if you're not being able to get together with people in a personal space?
Actually, as someone who spent most of my life growing up and living in cities, you know, when we moved to the old farmstead we were living in, I was quite romantic about the isolation, especially after having lived in Ireland for a couple of years. I'm like, oh, this will be grand. But yes, it is interesting. The thing I most often miss is I will open up the computer and go online, and there'll be buzz about a reception happening at the house gallery or an opening at the museum, and miss being there, miss being part of that community, because it's just that little bit more distance, and it's inspiring and lovely to be here. And at this time, it's a great solace with the isolation and the self-quarantining, but it makes me hunger for what the arts brings us, which is community and connection.
And it's good that we have this wonderful springtime coming up. So it gives us, you know, I keep thinking of Beethoven's Sixth Symphony Pastorale. I was like, yeah, those are the birds he was writing about. And we have ways to keep each other connected. Kate, do you have any last words that you want to share in our last minute?
No, just again, to wait for us. We can't wait to sit there, all of you, in the same room, hopefully. But if not, we'll find a way.
We will definitely find a way. And I hope our listeners stay tuned to WDIY, always offering soothing, soul-enriching music in a variety of different ways, and also the local voices in our community. You've been listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY. I'm Sheila White.